Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. So, join us. Hope everyone had a great time. I'm watching the Underwear Olympics. It was fun. Addie, how you doing, man? Did you watch a little bit of the Underwear Olympics?
I watched every bit of it. Maybe not all of it live, but I was up to date watching it via Twitter, via cell phone. I mean, I love the Combine. I absolutely love the Combine.
Oh, there was some there's some good things to talk about, some good takeaways. There's going to be people with wild rookie ranking adjustments based on the combine. But, Maddie, we got to catch the people up, man. We got to catch them up on what's going on with the combine for anybody who didn't tune in. I mean, we are fast approaching peak rookie dynasty season. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. Injected into my veins.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh, for some of us in D-Gen leagues, our drafts are less than a month away. Just think about that. Like our super pre-NFL draft. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to get this shit figured out, man. We got to get it figured out.
Sticko stuff.
Maddie, let me ask you here. We'll go position by position. Do you have any big takeaways starting with the quarterbacks, which, I mean, we didn't get to see any Cam Ward. We didn't get to see any Shedeur Sanders. We did get to see some Jackson Dart and some of the more fringe prospects. Do you have any big takeaways from the quarterbacks at the NFL Combine this year?
Yeah, my big takeaway, I guess, from the quarterbacks per se and kind of how we're approaching dynasty rookie drafts right now is not even really what was on the field. It wasn't the testing. It was all the rumors, the chatter coming out of there that there's one quarterback that's a lock for round one, and that's Cam Ward. That even Shedeur Sanders is one of two things. Either he knows where he's going and it's safely in the top five, or he could slide to the back half of round one. We're seeing the major mockers, the Lance Zierlein's, you know, having him at the end of round one. Guys like Todd McShay talk about how multiple talent evaluators with teams inside the top 10 felt like he was unprofessional, like he was really just didn't care about how they thought of him. And, you know, if he knows and if his team knows he's going in top 10, then he doesn't have to placate these teams he knows he's not going to. So I'm not writing him off, but if we are going to approach these rookie drafts, like you said, us sickos that have these rookie drafts, you know, before the NFL draft kicks off, so we have it in the next 40 days, we got to know how we're going to approach this round one. And now I don't know if I have as much fervor, as much excitement to take Shedeur at the top half of round one, and even in Superflex.
I did hear the rumblings. I do see a lot of the rumors out there. I kind of approach this a little bit differently. I think the talent's good. I think he's going to be a fine NFL quarterback. I also kind of stand for the guy, you know, like I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah, he's
of
easy
his.
To root for sure. He's
I'm a fan of his from choosing to go to a school like Jackson State because that's where your dad is and passing up, you know, the Alabamas and the Florida States, even though you had the pedigree. You had the recruiting ranking and the talent to do it and to try to build something at multiple schools, you know, with your father and with your brother. Like, I respect that. And mm-hmm. He does rub a lot of people the wrong way. And it's one of those things that it just seems as I get older, the more and more tired of the bullshit that I end up getting and the less I can stomach and stand. Because, I mean, in the reality of it, I'm saying this as a, you know, a fucking middle-aged white dude from Iowa, but like, I see the bullshit on Twitter. I see it, right? Like, this kind of hate and this kind of rumblings and this kind of things really only seems to happen to the quarterbacks who are black. It really does.
Oh, it really does.
And it's constant. And I see people that I am friends with in the space also contribute to this. And it, after a while, man, it just, it makes you numb to it. It makes me kind of sick to my stomach, actually, to read some of the shit. So I'm not going to say that there's no truth to some of this, because, you know, when Todd McShay speaks, I kind of listen to what he has to say. He's definitely in the know. Some of the other people out there. But, I mean, even a guy like Lance Zierlein, who, you know, had his moments last year for sure. Like, he hit a lot of big things in the draft, you know, about this time. It's also a guy that I just watched, you know, mock fucking Ashton Jeanty with his first mock draft to the Jets. You know, and his reasoning behind it was Breece Hall's never hit 1,000 yards rushing. Like, that matters. Like you're supposed to be in the NFL space. So, like, how am I supposed to take that shit seriously? You know, and then you come out with a take like this, and, you know, your mock draft now has him at the back end of the first round. I guess I need more time to kind of process it, too, because there's been so much swirl around Shedeur Sanders, and a lot of it has nothing to do with his actual fucking ability on the field to play football.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're seeing these the Twitter talking heads talking about how he wears his hat, what he wears around his neck, like, you can miss me with that stuff. That stuff has nothing to do with his acumen, his football IQ, who he is as a man. Like, let's be real, just because you're some crusty ass dude that doesn't understand swag and doesn't understand how that, like, what that coolness, like, again, miss me with that. I don't believe in that. But what I can't help but see and hear, Todd McShay is as dialed in to this process as you will find. And he is talking to the decision makers in the NFL. And when he talked about Shedeur specifically, he did bring up the fact that, listen, I've talked to many kids and I've known many players drafted who will kind of brush off the 11th pick in the draft when they know they're going top 8. So there is precedent for a kid showing up not being all that dialed in, because one thing that I think a lot of folks forget about this combine is it's not the underwear Olympics. It's their first round of job interviews. Some guys, especially the guys like Shedeur, you're going from the podium to getting prodded and tugged at with MRIs and all this medicals. Then you got to go to ESPN. Then you got to go to PFF. Then you got to go to NBC. Then you got to go to the Patriots. Well, not the Patriots, but you know what I'm saying? The Browns and the Titans and the Giants and the Jets and then the Raiders. And then you got to do a lot. So you could see a world in which he is not completely focused to talk to the 15th pick when he knows he's going top 10. So it's nothing that I'm writing him off about. Still my QB2 in the class, but, you know, he did look a little thin. He does look a little small, 6'1", 212. Hand size is there. So the measurables, his stature, I just don't want there to be enough red flags that compound on this guy that gets me a little bit more nervous. Like I said, I am starting to question whether I want to use a top half of the first round pick on Shedeur and Superflex, but I'm not backing out on the kid. But yeah, that was one of the things I took from this QB class was, if there's only one kid taken in round one, and that's Cam Ward, then the rest of this just kind of feels like pick your poison. And I actually moved up Jalen Milroe back to my QB4 because his hands grew. And at this point,
magic.
I just feel like this, and I'll say this, and I mean no disrespect, Mike, about this prospect or about people who are happy about this kid. The class has become such a lackluster quarterback class that all of a sudden there's this stand group for Tyler Shuck, a 38-year-old quarterback who has a decent arm. But, folks, he came out of high school the same year Trevor Lawrence did.
Good
Lord. Has like 4 PhDs. Of course he's going to be articulate. Of course he's going to have fun. Of course he's going to handle all of the waves and ups and downs of the draft process like an absolute pro. He's an adult. He's been around. He's been in college for 7 years. And all of a sudden people are talking like he could be the third quarterback off the board. That's how lackluster this group of quarterbacks are.
It is. I walked away from the combine specifically. I mean, you get to watch the fringier guys and Jackson Dart. And I'm going to put Jackson Dart in a different category because I do think he separated himself pretty good. And he showcased why there's rumblings about him potentially and I say this very lightly, potentially being a top 10 pick in the first round. He looked like a first round quarterback. He did at the combine. He did everything well. He went through every one of those passing drills, and I was like, okay, this is a dude who can spin it. And his tape backs it up. His production backs it up. So as long as he didn't absolutely tank the interview process, we could be having three quarterbacks in the first round, which would kind of save this one. And Jalen Milroe, rightfully so. Like, his hands grew, and then I thought he threw the ball well at the combine. Like, he did
good sip.
Everything that he needed to do to kind of put himself back in that conversation of maybe not being in the first round, but for fantasy purposes, if he ends up in the second or third round to a team because of his athletic ability and what that means for fantasy production, that's somebody I'm going to be interested in. He had the opportunity to completely just shit on that and just fall off my board where it's like, I don't care because you're probably going to be a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick and it's just not going to matter to me. But he did his thing. Some of the other guys, like you said, I don't get the Tyler Shuck thing. No thank you. Hard pass on that. And I didn't think Will Howard had a very good performance either. Where it was like,
when you're getting booed by the crowd in Indianapolis, yes, that's rough.
And Quinn Ewers was just very whelming. Wasn't overwhelming.
He was exactly Quinn Ewers.
I think Quinn Ewers' biggest downfall has been that he shaved off the mullet all them years ago. Like, if he went into there with that swag of the mullet, you know, maybe he could have brought us back.
He was stockier back then, too.
Yes, he was. How about the running?
Can I ask you a quick question before we move on to running back? Because I want to get your opinion on this. Because we draft a lot of our leagues before the NFL draft, but a lot of leagues don't. Their rookie drafts will be, you know, in the summer, in August, later in the season. Let's just say, for the thought exercise, Shedeur Sanders goes 33rd to the Browns. Jackson Dart goes, well, that'd be 38 to the Raiders. Jalen Milroe goes in the second half. Maybe let's call it the swing, the 2-3 turn. So I'm talking about Cam Ward is the only first-round quarterback. Sanders and Dart are firmly in the second round, and Milroe's in the back half, maybe third round. Do you move Milroe up to QB2 based on the athleticism and given the fact that the draft capital for the other two quarterbacks cratered?
I would say if it is day two draft capital like that, like in early days.
Let's just say they're all day two picks. Yep.
Day two picks. Yeah. Yeah. I think you have a realistic case to do it, right? If the NFL told you we didn't want Shedeur, we didn't want Jackson Dart in the first round, I know people will hinge on, well, it was the early part of the second. I get it, man. But just history, right? If you just want to look at hit rates in fantasy football and dynasty football for quarterbacks, the hit rate between an early second round pick and a late second round pick or an early third round pick is almost the exact same, right? Mm-hmm. Then my differentiator becomes fuck the priors on what I thought about these guys. The NFL draft happened. The NFL told you what they wanted to. I'm going to swing for the fences on the guy who can be a fantasy difference maker because the outcome on the bottom end is the exact fucking same. It really is. Now, that's the type of draft capital where you go, all right, they're going to give this guy an opportunity at some point, but that's what you're banking on. What it would absolutely do is just devastate anybody, including myself right now, who's got Jackson Dart as potentially a top five rookie pick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if he's not in the first round, then the top five rookie pick thing's out the window. It's like, all right, maybe back into the first round, early part of the second round. This is where I'm thinking about taking him. Does the same exact thing for Shedeur Sanders, who maybe people's 102 or 103 or 104 right now, like, depending on where they're at. That would absolutely just tank it. But to your point about the Jalen Milroe thing, if he got very similar draft capital, fuck yes. Yeah, and a lot of people don't want to think that far ahead, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to be stuck on their priors. But if it did happen, I would be one of the first people, Maddie, out there pounding, you guys got to make this fucking change. Like, you got to. Here's the reasons why. And I'd laid them all out. I could give you the data on it, and you'd be like, oh, okay. Well, I still don't like him. Well, good. It just acknowledged that's the only reason you don't want to make the switch. Yeah. All right. Running back position. Let's move on to that one, which we got a lot to talk about at the running backs because it was pretty fucking exciting combine weekend. Probably give me your biggest winner. Can you pinpoint one? Because there are so many good ones. Can you pinpoint one biggest winner at the running back position?
For me, it's Bashuel Tuten. When you come in over 200 pounds and you just are explosive, number one in 40, number one vert, number one speed score, second highest broad jump, absolutely explosive running back, and now in a situation where he's kind of set himself ahead of a number of running backs that are kind of in the thick of it, the middle tier type guys. For me, he's moved up quite a bit. I think Tootin's performance was massive. And I think he, you know, again, over 20 receptions, over 1,000 yards rushing. He just continuously is checking boxes. And he is, to me, one of those surprises now after the combine that, you know, could he be a top 65 pick? I think that's on the table now.
I wish there was some show out there that talked about him right before the combine. You know, had just, you know, kind of mentioned him in passing. That would have been fun, huh?
It would have been great.
Rootin' tootin', man. Rootin' tootin'. Big winner. I can't knock that one. There's so many of them, so you really can't go wrong. My biggest winner is Amarian Hampton.
Oh,
it really
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah.
But it, and I brought this up, and, you know, even my good buddy Adam kind of gave me the side eye. Thought I might be a little bit crazy and had a little bit of pushback, but I was dead ass serious about it. With Jenty not performing at the combine, with all the hype around him, there was an opportunity for that next group, whether it was Travion, whether it was Caleb, whether it was Amarian Hampton. I think we can throw Quinshon in that fucking mix too,
yes,
after watching the film on him and what he did. There was an opportunity for them to massively close that gap. And I was sitting there just doing victory laps on Sunday when I was scrolling through Twitter, and you see some of the, according to a lot of, you know, NFL guys that I talked to, you know, they have Amarian Hampton now as RB1. Like, this kind of thing, like, this was bound to happen, right? Because it's the here and now, it's the present. And Amarian Hampton went out there and absolutely fucking smashed. So it's going to be a realistic conversation, not only in NFL circles, but you're going to see more and more dynasty people talking about rookies with Amarian Hampton. They're gonna act like they're hot takey, like, oh, he's my RB1. Look how fucking
you guys
hip
are sleeping. And, you guys yeah, bang yeah. sleep.
Look how hip and cool I am, right? Yeah. There was an opportunity for it, and it happened. It happened. I'm not gonna say he's gonna overtake Jenty for me, but the gap is, it wasn't very big for me to begin with.
Right.
But I would just, what I'm happy about is everybody else is kind of going to come to that realization where the gap isn't as massive as we thought, where it's Jenty's the clear RB1, you know, like we talked about last week, and it's by miles. It isn't even close. You know, that kind of bullshit. It's done with. Yes. Amarian Hampton's film is good. His production is good. And then you also saw that he is a massive dynamic athlete to running back position.
Unbelievable athlete. There was an NFL executive that, was sourced. Well, I didn't hear him speak, but listening to, you know, the draft guys talk, they talked to an NFL source, and they were very careful in saying this, understandably, but they compared Amarian Hampton to Adrian Peterson. Ooh. And the way that they brought him up wasn't play style, wasn't anything other than this. When Adrian Peterson showed up to the combine, NFL people kept saying, what is that thing? That thing's not like the other things. That's how they looked at Amarian Hampton. When you looked at Hampton at his media scrum, leaning over the podium, man, he looked different than everybody else. He came in weighing the same as Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Johnson, but when them three were up at the podium, one of them things didn't look like the other two, and it was Hampton. And if that's how NFL personnel feel when they looked at Amarian Hampton, that thing wasn't like the other things, kind of like Adrian Peterson, and when he was up there, that thing wasn't like the other things. Yeah, I think that the gap has significantly tightened, not in reality, because I think you and I have always been high on Hampton, very high on Hampton. So we've kind of been on this ship. Y'all been asleep. We haven't been asleep. We've been awake. Y'all been asleep. But the gap, I think, in the perception has now tightened considerably, for sure.
Yeah, I think it has as well. Some of the other, you know, winners, and there was a lot of them to go through, but obviously Quinshon Judkins killed the combine, did his thing. It was really great to see him. Patreon.com/South Harmon. There we go. There's a plug. During our film session on Thursday night when we watched him and Travion Henderson, I think a lot of people kind of walked away from that film session, for anybody who watched it. Very, very impressed with Quinshon, a little bit more than we thought we were going to be. And not disappointed in Travion, but just I mean, me personally, right after I watched that, I was like, these are like, I got to change my ranks. Like, these guys need to be neck and neck. And I actually do prefer Quinshon just a little bit. Like, Travion is explosive and makes the highlight plays. But if I'm looking at a running back, I want this fucking grinder, this beast who doesn't go down easily and wants to stiff arm everybody through the fucking earth. Like, that's my kind of guy, right? Like, the Marshawn Lynch vibes is kind of what I got from him. And then to see him go out at the combine, obviously we saw him break away some runs at Ohio State, and we saw him do it when he was a freshman and a sophomore at Ole Miss. The long speed was always the question mark, but that acceleration and burst, and then coupled with a pretty damn good 40 time, I think opened a lot of people's eyes, because he is a big guy who runs very, very angry all the time. And he's a better pass catcher than people think. So I liked Quinshon. I thought he did really well. Amarian Hampton, obviously, we touched on it, killed it. I thought Travion Henderson did his thing for the most part. Damian Martinez, kind of a favorite of mine, too. I thought he had a really nice combine, got up there.
Great broad jump.
And then the bigger backs, a lot of people are going to look at just the 40 time of Ollie Gordon or just the 40 time of Caleb Johnson and be – and I was disappointed a little bit in Caleb. I thought he would run faster. And I don't know if this is me making excuses for him, but the rest of it, like, he looked put together. He looked like he has a guy who's got pretty good burst. He looked like a guy that just wasn't very technically sound in running the 40. Like, that 10-yard split wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but once that big boy got up to speed on that frame, you saw why he broke away a lot of runs at Iowa and ran away from Big Ten defenders. So I thought it was pretty good. I probably the highlight for the combine would be him, because I think a lot of people are going to knock him and push him down the board, you know, to RB5 or RB6 or do something stupid. Perfect, man. More opportunity for me to get my guy Caleb Johnson. Like, I thought he had a very good combine in his own right and did what I expected of him. Ollie Gordon kind of in the same mix. Man, Ollie Gordon looked like a fucking just Adonis out there, man.
He is a big monster. He is a monster.
And then some of the other running backs, you know, Breshad Smith had himself a fairly decent combine. I thought Trevor Etienne did fine. There wasn't a whole lot of disappointing ones. I know Devin Neal's going to make the list for that 4.58 40, but at 213 pounds, and then if you go look at his actual RAS score, very good RAS score, because he jumped out of the building. So a lot of the things that I already kind of thought about Devin Neal confirmed. I didn't know really what his long speed was. I thought he'd be faster than that, and I was hoping for it, but the burst is definitely there. The burst score is going to look real nice. And for anybody who's actually watched Devin Neal, and the Senior Bowl takeaway was pretty much the same, might have the quickest fucking feet in this whole class. So, you know, quick feet, nice calves. Boy does all right, right? You gotta watch that calf game on that the running back. So overall, the running back class was pretty good. There was only a couple guys where it's like, no, I'm good. like hard fucking, like, killed themselves, where you're just like, no, we're good. Write them off. Like, sorry to my Rutgers brethren, all right? I really wanted to be in on Kyle. I just can't do it. I can't do it with that athleticism and with the depth of this class. I also wanted to be in on Corey Kiner. Sorry, not really in on Corey Kiner anymore. Like, I'm kind of good, man. I'm going to go somewhere else. And then there was a lot of Jordan James stands out there. You know, you kind of saw him out there. No, I'm good on him too. So those are probably my three biggest losers, where I'm just like, I'll let somebody else do it, man. There's so many other options in this class at the running back position, because almost everybody performed well. And if you didn't, all right, hard pass. What about you, Maddie?
I'm going to start with Jordan James, because I think that there's going to be a sentiment that's shared throughout a lot of fantasy leagues, and it's going to go like this. Well, last year, Bucky Irvin didn't really test well, and look how good he was. Bucky Irving is, you know, proven to be very good at running the football. He also had the benefit of a very light class. He still went in the fourth round. Jordan James did not have the luxury of being a fourth round pick in this class. In 2017, 20 running backs were taken. That was one of the highest amount of running backs taken. And in this class, there's 20 guys that I'd feel confident giving the ball to quite a bit, and Jordan James is not one of them. So that, I agree. I completely think he sank his draft stock there. Another big loser for me was Dylan Sampson. Didn't run.
Yeah.
was supposed to be speedy, comes in at 200 pounds, but at 5'8". And then that 200 seems very artificial to me because he didn't run. Makes me think that that's artificial weight, that he's probably closer to 185, 190. And again, there's just not a lot of wiggle room. There's not a lot of room for error in this class. And if you're talking about the difference of him being RB11 off the board or RB16, 17, that's a massive difference. So he was a big loser for me. Of course, like I mentioned, Jordan James. And another loser for me, it's, I don't know. I had Rashad Smith as a loser in this class.
All right.
And it's not that I don't like Rashad Smith. It's just the weight of this class. He comes in small, 5'9", 194, does put up the good 40-yard dash at 4.39, but the speed score wasn't good. The broad and vertical were miserable, so the burst really wasn't there. And again, yeah, I think if he could find a role, if the NFL tells me to go fuck myself and they select him ahead of Jacquez Hunter and ahead of LaQuint Allen and ahead of Damian Martinez, then I'll have to just shut up and take my comeuppance. But I look at this guy, and I looked at a player that I had inside my top 12 at running back, and I've had to move him now outside my top 15 because I just feel like he's the type of guy that gets swallowed up by a class like this. And then when you look at all of the big monsters that checked boxes at that combine, confirmed a lot of front offices' hopes, in my opinion, the Donovan Edwards, the Rocket Sanders, DJ Giddens. These guys all came in over 200 pounds, showed extremely good burst, put up good 40 times. And I just now have questions about the DC for Rashad Smith. And that for me was enough to be a loser. I like the player on tape. He is dynamic. He is the satellite back that you would want. But if you're telling me as a NFL scout, and I'm not an NFL scout, so you can throw that right back in my face and tell me to go piss off. But if you're telling me I could have DJ Giddens or Rashad Smith, give me Giddens, who comes in over 200 pounds, ridiculous broad, ridiculous vert, 4.43 40, speed score up the a great speed score out the gate, fourth best in the class. I just think I'd go Giddens, and Giddens for me was a riser for sure. But this class is so sick that he's still running back 13 for me. It's unbelievable.
It's going to be real tough. I'm going to have to really sit down here. And speaking of that, our rookie draft guide, those rookie ranks, I'm going to really have to dive into and update, because there's going to be a lot of movers. Now, I'm not talking massive, like, oh my God, who the hell is this guy? The running back position is going to be the tough, because like Maddie's tough one, because like Maddie's talking about, there's so many good ones, right? I already had them all in a jumbled mess of shit. But now there's different preferences I have, right? I didn't even mention probably my biggest winner. I overlooked him. Rocket Sanders. Welcome back to relevancy, right?
Yep.
Had himself a hell of a combine. So, and that's a guy that we've loved since he was a freshman. So,
yeah,
welcome back into the good graces of the Dynasty community, the Devy community. We're back in on Rocket, man. Let's go Rocket. It's going to be like Rocket, I think, who I had like in the 20s, you know, somewhere around there in the running backs. And it's like, oh, now you got him at, you know, 9. It's like, well, he was already fucking close to 9. It was just the depth of the class. God damn it.
If there was one thing that I could get from the NFL, you know, the front offices, if they could tell me one thing, it would be this. How do they view the post-hype sleeper type prospects? The guys like Ollie Gordon, Rocket Sanders, Donovan Edwards. These guys that were billed to highlight this class 2 years ago, a year ago. How do they view those type of players? Because scouts don't scout. The fantasy bubble, the lens that a lot of the people that give content to fantasy, they scout on a per year basis, which is what we need in fantasy. That's the proxy of football. We need kind of that window. But the NFL scouts in an ever, like, it's evergreen. They're remembering 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They remember this year. They can compartmentalize, they can stack all that information and make their decisions. And I just wonder, like, yeah, Rocket Sanders is back, baby. Donovan Edwards might be back, but does the NFL think they're back?
That's true. All right, let's go to the wide receiver position, which Maddie as a whole, you know, I'll kind of spoil it. I was thoroughly impressed. I thought this wide receiver class was ass cheeks heading into the combine. And walked away with it kind of like, hey, maybe 2025 rookie picks ain't so bad. Like maybe,
yeah, right.
Maybe they ain't that bad. You might be all right. We got some wide receivers in here. But give me your biggest winner for you personally from the wide receiver group at the combine.
Overall, my biggest winner in the wide receiver position might be my biggest winner overall, period, was Matthew Golden. I loved watching Matthew Golden at Texas. I thought he was like a second-round receiver throughout the season. And then kind of watching him in the playoff run, he just became the go-to guy for Quinn Ewers. He was always making the big catch in the big spot. And I love those type of ballsy players. When I watched him play, I kind of couldn't help but think of an Amon-Ra St. Brown type, a guy that probably isn't the best athlete, but you know, he can command the slot, he can play the outside, he's tough, he's a pretty good technical route runner, he does the dirty things that gets you on the field. Then he comes out and runs a 4.29. And I'm like, where the hell was this speed? And apparently these Texas guys, they know how to run a fucking sprint, because I remember A.D. Mitchell a year ago was a burner, yeah. And I didn't realize he had that type of speed. And Matthew Golden, I think, has a lot of the traits that I didn't see in A.D. Mitchell, the toughness, the durability, the willingness to make catches over the middle of the field. So for me to see Matthew Golden that had the intangibles that was going to make me excited to take him at the beginning of round two, well, now I'm going to have to use a little bit better DC, because he is going to be lockstep. He's going to be in contention as the number one receiver off the board. And we're starting to hear that now from the major draft guys, the guys that cover the NFL on an NFL basis. So for me, it's a huge riser, and it's a huge relief, because you and I were here just a couple weeks ago saying, save us, Travis Hunter. Save us, yeah. Be a receiver. And now I look at it like, if he comes out and goes to a team that's going to play him at receiver, man, this receiving class might be a hell of a lot better, hell of a lot just more encouraging, more optimistic about this class if he does that. But now guys like Golden has made it, okay, I think we're going to get a run of receivers here in the first round.
I would agree with that sentiment. My biggest winner for me, Iowa State University Jays. All right, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. Both of those guys went out and fucking put on a show at the combine. And these were both guys. One, I wasn't the biggest Noel fan. Then the Senior Bowl happened, and I listened to smart people like Derek Brown down there. I listened to people who were in the know talk about how he dominated. I went, okay, well, I'm kind of in on him. I was already in on his teammate, Jaden Higgins, for sure. Mm-hmm. Right? I had a Michael Thomas comp to him. That got blown out of the fucking water during the combine. It really did. Like, man, Michael Thomas, no offense to you, Michael Thomas, because I know how petty you can be as well. I respect the petty. I respect your slants. He wishes he was that athletic, right? And all of a sudden, Jaden Higgins propelled himself up into comps with Nico Collins as an athletic comparison with the size and the speed, the athletic testing. And I went, oh, shit. I know the production does match, and no offense to Nico Collins, but if you wanted to just look at analytical profiles coming out of college, Jaden Higgins is going to blow Nico Collins out of the motherfucking water. Nico Collins barely did anything in college, it seemed like, and that was just a function of the Michigan offense. But Jaden Higgins exploded, and then Jalen Noel just backed it up in everything that he did. Now, I don't know if we're going to get these guys in the first round, but I'm pretty confident in saying early second round locks for both of these guys. Like, these guys are going to get that mythical top 50 draft capital that we care about, where it's like the top 50 is the cutoff. If you can't get drafted in the top 50 as a wide receiver, we just move on to the next. It feels like both these guys are locks in there. So those were my two biggest winners. There was plenty of them. You talked about Matthew Golden. I wasn't a big Matthew Golden fan. I actually preferred his teammate, Isaiah Bond, to him. Isaiah Bond went out and did fine, although he oversold what he could do in the 40, which you can't do that. You can't talk 4.18 and then run a 4.439, whatever he ran.
Like, the slowest 4.39 in the history.
Right, and everybody's mad about it. Like, his film's still good. I'm still a big Isaiah Bond fan. But Matthew Golden, like, I actually sat down after he ran that and go, I got to really dive into Golden film. Like, I got to stop pussyfooting around and find out about this guy, because he is going to get, and we're seeing these rumors already, might be the first wide receiver off the board. Might be the first. I mean, RIP to all the Tet McMillan stands, you know, he's a freak. You got to draft him no matter what. Didn't want to work out. Didn't want to go out there. Every one of these other wide receivers went out and performed their ass off. So unfortunately for Tet, not good for him. So I do got to figure out Matthew Golden. I also thought, listen, we talked about him on the show, man. I did a write-up based off of this fucking guy on the show when we brought him up, because he was still free. Nobody had taken him. I didn't think he was going to work out. Like, that knee injury was a big deal. Yep. It caused him to miss the rest of the season. But Torrey Horton going out, working out the combine, and I love the little nuggets. He's only been cleared to run for like 3 weeks. And the fucking man goes out and runs a 4.41. Right? Like, just goes out. Like,
run. He had a 37.5 vert.
Yes. Yes.
It's pretty damn good.
I love Torrey Horton's film. I love his production. You want to go back and watch what he did versus Colorado. Now, he wasn't always guarded by Travis Hunter, because he does work out of the slot some, but he can win on the outside too. You can watch that film from 2 years ago in 2023. He fucking brutalized Colorado. Absolutely nuked him. I mean, one of the only reasons Colorado State even made that a game was Torrey Horton. So I love Torrey Horton to death. And then for him to come out and athletically test and be this impressive, I'm like, hey, I was thinking, like, you know, this is going to be my fifth round wide receiver that I draft everywhere that I shouldn't, you know, because it's a fifth round wide receiver. I might get some Torrey Horton, you know, second round love by the NFL draft. You never know. You never know. I'm not going to say it's a lock, but, you know, there's an opportunity for it. I thought he performed really, really well. And then the other ones, the big winners, all these fucking ridiculously athletic wide receivers that I know absolutely nothing about,
yeah,
right?
And Florida had a bevy of freak athletes and just never unleashed them.
Christ. Isaiah Nair is a name that we do know because of his time at Texas. Then went to Nebraska, and for anybody who plays in C2C leagues, I was rushing to the waiver wire earlier in the year to pick up Isaiah Nair because he had a monster game and then apparently did nothing for the rest of the year. He got a fucking 10 on his RAS score, a perfect 10 Isaiah Nair did. Then you had Isaac Tesla. I always want to say Tesla, Tesla, but Tesla, yeah. Tesla, doing it, exciting whites. Part of the exciting whites. Let's go. He actually has a decent stat line from his final year. All these guys are old, like fourth year seniors, fifth year, sixth year seniors, transfer guys, but going out and absolutely smashing. Sam Brown out of Miami. Again, the only reason I know him is from the fucking video game. That is it. That is it. And then Deontay Thornton, Tennessee. Look at the 6'5 motherfucker going out there and running that fast. Like,
4.3, baby.
I saw tweets where it was like the only other person who was this tall who ran this fast at the combine at wide receiver was Calvin Johnson. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here?
And then you're like, why did that guy only have 550 receiving yards last year at Tennessee with Nico?
Nuts. The only disappointment I had, I wanted to see Jack Besh run the 40. He didn't. All his other athletic testing, he did the jumps. Like, he
looked great on the field. The drills, he looked fantastic.
He looked great in the film, so nothing up or down with him. Jalen Royals was a nice surprise, being that athletic, especially coming off the injury. And then you had, man, I am going to do stupid things with this guy. I really do think I'm going to do stupid things with this guy. Elik Aiomaner, I'm going to do dumb things with him. I love the film. I love the fact he absolutely nuked Travis Hunter. And yes, Travis Hunter did cover him that game. Well, I can't say cover him. Attempted to cover him that game. It didn't work out well for Travis Hunter. That guy, man. Like, I love his film. And people are talking about him, you know, potentially being in the first round now. I don't know if that's actually the case or not. But I think there's a realistic conversation to be had with him. So the wide receivers as a group, thank you for standing up. And we didn't even talk about it at the top. Luther Burden did absolutely nothing to disappoint. Nothing to disappoint. I think he actually surprised some people. So we got a real conversation for wide receiver one. It's going to make it real tough to rank it in a rookie class of wide receivers, which I was pretty poo-pooing, and I needed Travis Hunter to save me. Maybe we don't. Maybe we don't. We might be just fine here.
Yeah, I agree. You started this. You fucking started this. So I'm going to say it to you. And if you want to take it as your take, I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you because you started this. But and I know the NFL, again, the NFL will tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. But I'm starting to think to myself, why use a first-round pick on Tet McMillan when you could use a second or a third on Jaden Higgins?
Boom.
I'm just starting to look at it now. It's 6'4", 219 versus 6'4", 214. Now, Tet McMillan does have bigger hands, but 4.47, I don't think Tet's running a sub-4.5. Do you?
It is going to be tough for him.
It's going to be right there. I mean,
I don't see it on film. How about that?
And then Higgins goes out and has a 39-inch vert. I mean, checks all the boxes. And then you want to talk about production? You want to talk to me about production? Jaden Higgins averaged 20 fantasy points a game last year in college. Tet McMillan averaged 22, mainly because he had 1,300 receiving yards. Well, Jaden Higgins had 11, while also his teammate had 1,100 yards. So, I mean, if this was a more consolidated target share like Tet McMillan was seeing, Jaden couldn't have went 1,300. He had more touchdowns than Tet McMillan. And it wasn't like Iowa State had, you know, Brock Purdy back there.
No, they had shitty-ass Rocco Beck.
That's right. Exactly. So I think that he did a lot for himself. That my loser, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Not the obvious. There's a couple of obvious losers. I'm sure we'll get to them. I thought, and people are probably going to scream into the ether when they hear this in their headphones. First of all, shout out for you for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. I thought Trey Harris was a loser of the combine. And it's not what he did or didn't do. Again, sometimes when these athletes are billed to be X and they end up being short of that, I just can't help but feel like that didn't go well for you. 6'2", 205, smaller than we probably thought. 4.54, definitely slower than we thought. Vert was there. Hand size is there. Looks like he's explosive. But the reason why he's a loser to me is I thought he had to clearly place himself above the AO Manners and the Higgins to really solidify himself in our game that we play fantasy football, where we could have a real confident pick in him in the second. I think now taking him in the second, it is a bit risky. I still have him as my wide receiver 8. It's not that he tanked in my rankings per se. These are the three names right behind him in my ranks, Mike. Noel, Horton, Besh. All three of those could end up being better prospects, getting drafted higher than Harris. And I felt like for a guy that has so much mystery, what he could have done if he played in the amount of games in the rest of them. You know, he only played in 8 games and this and that. To come out and just not set yourself up to be in that upper echelon, that next level of receivers, because people had them, you know, had Harris as their tier two top guy. And now he's kind of at that bottom part of tier two, could be leapfrogged by a few guys in the next tier. I didn't think that it was a good result for Trey Harris and, you know, my thoughts on where to take him in rookie drafts.
And I think that's probably fair. That's a fair assessment. I still really like Trey Harris, and I'm still going to rank him fairly high, but you're right about the fact that he didn't do enough or wow us enough to, like, separate himself to, like, I'm him, to put that stamp down.
Yeah.
And everybody else below him who we had question marks about, you know, I had question marks about Jaden Higgins' speed. I had question marks about Jalen Knoll's actual size. You know, when you get 5'9 at the Senior Bowl, and then I find, okay, now he's 5'10. He's a little bit over 5'10. That puts you in a different category for me of comfort.
Yep.
All those guys, Torrey Horton, A.O. Manor, like Jalen Royals, like Jack Besh looking as good as he did out there. Like you said, like all these guys who went out and performed very well, really close that gap, which kind of sucks. Like, you wanted to see Trey Harris just go out and be like, no, I'm him. If he goes out and he runs a, you know, 4.41 and he's 6'3 and 210, it's like, okay, we're done. All right.
Yeah.
We've seen enough. We're done. We're out of here. But it's not. He opened the door and left it cracked just a little bit for now, like, Matthew Golden's first wide receiver off the board. And then it's like, where does that make Tet? And then we know Ibuka's solid and Luther Burden did his thing. And then all these other guys started to do stuff as well. He kind of falls back into that group, which is a tough look, right? It's a tough look. Like, you got to, there's going to be a group of like reasonable sound people like yourself, Maddie, who go, okay, he's in this tier of big, which if I get some shares, great. If I don't, I don't really care. And then there's going to be another group that's like, Trey Harris, no matter what.
Right? Of course.
And I think the problem is going to be with the Trey Harris, no matter what group, because we see this every year. Usually when it's Trey Harris, no matter what, you're the one who like ends up with Jonathan Mingo. You know, like,
that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah.
Or the Christian Watson thing a couple years down the road. Like, that's what happens. And you find yourself in year four still trying to tell yourself a story about how you weren't wrong. Like, that's not a good place to be.
It's just so, two touchdowns in a meaningless game. You're like, see, I told you Trey Harris, no matter what.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of big time wide receivers that just flat out bricks. So if I got to talk about biggest losers, Tet's going to be a big loser. Right, just because of the same things. Everybody else kind of elevated themselves. He did not. Trey Harris is going to be in that mix. And then Ibuka. Like, we know he's solid. We like him. But still, like, now we're having conversations. Would you rather have Ibuka or would you rather have, you know, Jalen Knoll? Like, can they do the same things? I know one's really fast. really fast.
You can jump really high.
Yeah, you can do it all. I don't know about Ibuka. Like, I know what I see on film, but you just kind of fall back into that mix. So, yeah, wide receivers, though, it's good that we have this problem because it could have gone the other way. It could have been all disappointments, and we just left shitting our pants about this rookie class. So that was a nice surprise. How about tight ends? And this one, we didn't get to see a lot of the top guys. We didn't get to see a lot of the ones we wanted to see, right? Nothing from Tyler Warren, nothing from Colston Loveland, unfortunately. But we did have some other tight ends who are in the mix for some people work out at the combine and do drills. Did you have a big tight end winner from the combine, Maddie?
I did. And it's a weird one because, like you said, no one really did anything in the class. My biggest winner was Colston Loveland, and it's because of what he measured at. It felt like you were hearing you had Gronk and you had Kelce. You had the big hulking tight end. And then you had the little shifty, can find the soft parts in the zone tight end. Then Loveland comes in and goes 6'6", 248, 8 pounds lighter than Tyler Warren. And now you go, well, you know, you start telling yourself the story, Mike. Well, you know, Loveland was a pretty highly regarded tight end prospect coming out. And remember when Colston Loveland was supposed to be the smash tight end in this class, the only one that we were going to get? Remember when Colston Loveland was an early declare, even though he only played in 10 games? You start telling yourself the story where you go, oh, Colston Loveland's going to be a round one pick. Colston Loveland might be a top 15 pick. And even if he comes off the board after Tyler Warren, in our rookie drafts, it's really only going to be a spot or two behind Tyler Warren. So I think that was a huge winner, seeing how big and how well he carries that weight. I think it opened a lot of eyes as to what type of tight end he could be at the NFL level.
Yeah, I'm with you. There were some tight ends that I need to go back and reevaluate now and really see what the fuck I'm doing wrong. At the tight end position, it's always tough to really pick a big winner because we didn't get to see them actually go out and run. Like, I want to know what the fuck Colston Loveland runs. I want to know how high he jumps. I want to know what Tyler Warren runs and jumps, and we didn't really get to see it. We got to see Mason Taylor out on the field, who looked very fluid, but we didn't get to see him do any of the athletic testing, which still brings up a shit ton of concerns. Like, it still does. Like, it didn't really qualm any of that. I will say this, though. If I got to give a big winner, how about Terrence Ferguson?
Yeah,
absolutely. Athletic freak there. I was never really a big fan of his game. But he did make some pretty big plays, and the production isn't all that bad for him. So this is one of the things where I need to go back and do a little bit more film dive on Terrence Ferguson and be like, all right, I got to figure out what the fuck he is, right? Is this just Zach Kuntz at Oregon, or is this actually somebody who's pretty productive, right? Like the athletic testing is going to scream, take a look at me, and I need to know why. Yep. I need to know why. So Terrence Ferguson, how about a big winner? Not going to toot my own horn, but Luke Lachey also had himself a fairly decent combine.
He did.
Didn't run, so you don't get the 40 time, but his RAS score is going to come in way above the threshold that we actually need. Pretty good RAS score because he did jump, and he jumped very, very well. The size also, kind of like you talked about Colson Loveland, big boy. Big boy at the tight end position. So I like that one. How about loser at the tight end position? You got anybody who stands out to you, Maddie?
Yeah, I'm going to give my guy, Harold Fannin Jr., the loser tag. And it's not that I'm souring on the player, but I have a hard time seeing the NFL taking a chance on this kid, making him a top 64 pick. I struggle to even potentially see him being a day two pick now in the NFL draft. When you see guys like Ferguson kind of burn it up, Lachey look healthy, and then Arroyo and Taylor, you know, they got the size, the pedigree, that more traditional tight end. I just now I'm starting to see a very grim picture of how Harold Fannin is drafted, how he's developed, and the leash that he's given on an NFL roster, where I was hoping he could at least show off a little of that speed. We know he's got the abilities. I mean, he was the number one yak tight end in college football last year, so we know he's got a little, you know, skedaddle to his game. I wonder if, you know, packing on the pounds really hurt that 40, you know, that 4.6 40. Coming in at 241 was a nice start to his combine, but he was 238 at the Senior Bowl. He played a lot lighter than that. I just wonder if it was a Fugazi weight and he kind of lost some speed to that. And then for me, it just comes down to where the NFL sees him. And I just, as much as I loved his production, as much as I will always have his 2024 on my C2C league team, it just feels like if he's a fifth or sixth round pick in the NFL, you can't draft him even in a five round rookie draft.
Yeah, all of a sudden now we're seeing people stand for him like they did for Isaiah Likely, which, let me point out too, all you Isaiah Likely people have had like two games in the last three fucking years you can point
That's
to.
What I'm saying. So, like, these Isaiah Likely stands, it's like,
I don't get it.
Have your tight end 15.
And every time that you have one of those games, he was probably on your bench because you're like, Mark Andrews is playing. Why the fuck am I playing?
You didn't start in week one last year. Don't fucking lie to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, you just went out and blew all your fab on him and then just watched ride the pine for the rest of the year. That I don't get it. So Harold Fannin all of a sudden became in that category, which has to make him a big loser for me, probably the biggest loser. But some honorable mentions outside of Harold Fannin for the obvious reasons. I know Fannin did still kind of meet that RAS threshold that we want, just barely. For me, it's barely. About 7.5. You know, for other people, it's 7 is the cutoff. I know that's kind of Scott Connor. He's talked about that quite a bit. It's 7 for him. 7.5 for me, I really just start giving a shit. And Harold Fannin came in at 7.8, so he's just barely above it. But I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to tell myself the same story. Like, what NFL team wants a 6'3", 235-pound tight end that's also slow and doesn't jump very high?
Yeah.
Okay.
He looked good on the on-field drills, but
yeah,
I think NFL teams went, we knew he'd look good on the field. Yeah. We needed to see how he was going to, you know, test, and that he just underwhelmed.
All of a sudden, he just went into the Chigakwankwo, Greg Dulcich bucket.
That's
just,
right. Like, and those guys were third round picks. I don't know if he's a third round pick.
He might be. Even if he is, Maddie, we did mock draft Monday last night, and I took him with the Rams in the third round, you know, trying to give the rosiest scenario possible to, like, bring the hype back. And even in that, like, with everybody else that went, I'm like, I don't even know if in the top four rounds of my rookie draft I'd pull the trigger on him. Because those are the kind of tight ends, if they do hit and, like, you like what you see, like, and they start doing it consistently, you can always buy back in. And it's not that cost prohibitive. It's still the tight end position in Dynasty. It really doesn't mean shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really doesn't. So the other ones that I didn't really like their combine and I kind of had some faith for, Mitchell Evans also didn't test very well. Not a big fucking fan of that. The size was nice. The 40 wasn't terrible. That wasn't the death nail. You know, a 4.7 for a guy that size wasn't the death nail. But the fact you only have a 31-inch vertical, like, come on. Come on. What are we doing? Aronde Gadsden off my board. I'm good. The height was great. The weight, not great. The jumps, fucking pitiful. And now I see why he didn't run the 40 either. Like, I'm good. And then the tough one for me, man, I want to make an excuse for him, and I saw him come out here. I was a big Gunnar Helm fan. Absolutely abysmal 40. If it is true with the pictures and everything, if he did actually roll his ankle and sprain it as bad as those pictures suggest and then still go out and run the 40, that's a fucking dog, all right?
Just a dog, but also he hurt himself stopping. That also has to be a red flag, right?
I mean, maybe, but I'm still going to say that's a fucking dog. And if that turns out to be fucking true and he goes out and he runs like a, you know, a pro day 4.468 or whatever the fuck it is, you know, juiced or whatever. Like, see, I don't have a sprained ankle. I'm fine now. That's such a dog mentality that I'm going to draft him in the fifth round of every one of my rookie drafts. Yeah, I don't even give a shit what the NFL draft capital is. I just want a dog on my team. Right? Just want a fucking dog. But a little bit disappointed, man. I was hoping Gunnar Helm would come out and, you know, do some things. You know, getting that 8.5 RAS. You know, like,
well, you were hearing that. You were hearing that before the workout started, that, you know, watch out for Gunnar Helm. He might surprise some people. And then he did, and you know what? He did run a 4.7 on a sprained ankle. Major shout out. Tough as nails. But I saw that, like, I also don't know if I want my professional athletes spraining their ankle.
Just with nobody around them in a straight line. Still fuck up your ankle. I don't know how that happens.
Watching the clip back, too, I'm like, we've all done that. If you're even a slightly athletic dude who's played sports in the backyard, you've had that ankle roll. You just go, fuck.
I roll my ankle walking to the shitter sometimes, man.
Oh, dude, I rolled my ankle pretty badly, falling off the curb. I was hammered, but whatever.
I do it sober sometimes. I just miss the bottom step, you know, or you forget there's an extra one down there.
You know, my office where I'm recording this very pod is in my basement. I have slipped down my stairs multiple times.
We can be honest. We can be honest.
We can be honest here.
We're men of the people. Men of the people will tell you the truth. Maddie, was there any big other takeaways that you had from the combine? Anything else you want to get before we pop out of here? We did a whole hour and recapped the whole fucking thing. Winners and losers. Look at us.
That was a good performance by us. Very tight, very good measurables. Tested well today. Tested great today.
Yeah, we were pretty solid. Not in the waistline, but pretty solid everywhere else.
Listen, we knew we were running on Monday, meaning we were the linemen. We were the old linemen guys.
That's true. Them linemen, them offensive tackles, balled the fuck out of the combine.
They were scooting. But I don't know. We've been going to the gym, Mike. I don't know. I think we show up in Canton in August. And South Harbor comes like, damn, who are these freaking Jack mother? And anyway, I don't really have big takeaways that we didn't cover. We kind of covered everything. I do have a music request tonight.
Okay, what do we got?
You know, this podcast, we're kind of cooking with gas. We're kind of just doing the damn thing. And with the fantasy offseason really kicking off and rookie drafts about to start, I just think that we're in a new level. Like, we're in a new level. And I started listening to this in the gym the other day. Forgot how much I loved this song. New Level by A$AP Ferg. Is a banger.
Okay.
And all I'd like to go out with that tonight, because I think that we
say less
are on a new level.
Done deal. Already looking it up. I'll have it there. End of the show. I love it, Maddie. No, combine's over. Now we just got pro days and then D-gen rookie drafts here in less than a month. I can't believe that's actually coming up here. Which means I got to get my ass in gear with all these leagues I commissioned. Start getting payments, all right? Listen, I really appreciate, in all these leagues that I pay, the people who fucking pay on time. You know, as soon as the league winnings from their other leagues get deposited in that league safe account, they just go to every single league that got renewed, hit it up, and just pay their leagues out. What I really hate, and I think I'm guilty of this in one league, and it's probably just, no offense, Koopa, you're listening to this podcast, I just hate your fucking league so much. I hate the settings. I fucking despise it so goddamn much, and my team is so bad, right? So I've been dragging my feet, but I'm guilty of it in one. But I hate the fucking people I got to track down and be like, hey, where's my money, you know? Like Brian, like Brian Griffin, right? Little Call Stewie and up. Brian Griffin just beating, Stewie just beating the shit. Where's my money, man? Where's my money? Where's my money, man? I hate those people. So hopefully new level. If you're listening to this, we'll take them to a new level. Pay your fucking league dues. Jesus. I don't need anything else to track out of my life. I got enough kids.
That's right. Yeah.
That's all right, Maddie. Well, appreciate everybody tapping in. We'll be back here same time, same place next week. We will be talking about, and actually, Maddie, I think it's probably a time next week. I think we do a rookie mock draft now that the dust is kind of settled. We start preparing for those actual rookie drafts we're going to be doing here in just a few short weeks. Nice little exercise for anybody who's in pre-NFL rookie drafts. And if you're not, listen to it anyways. There'll be some good takeaways. I promise.
Always time to game plan, baby.
Ooh, I like that. That's a little plug for what you do during the season. A little show called The Game Plan. Maddie, you're a smart dude. That's why I like you. God damn it. I like the way you do business.
That's why we are on a new level.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week for another edition of the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We're out of this thing.
I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new bezel. All my niggas put it work. I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level. Bought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new bezel. All my niggas put a work. Used to be sleeping on itchy beds. Bad buzz in the motel. Now your bitch give me head. 20 bitches in the hotel. On a Roman noodle diet. Tour life wasn't so well. All my niggas starting riots. Marsh pitting on your toy nails. Uncle T doing so well. First class from a hotel. T-Ferg did 15. In the feds getting no mail. My daddy died and my cousin too. They let him out of no cell. Provide jobs for my whole block. I cannot slow down. Nigga, I won't stop now. Motherfucker, this is my town. Take the block, make it hot now. 143rd with the drop down. Icy chain with the watch now. Bone piece full of rocks now. Niggas squint when they watch now. Leveling up to the top now. I'm on a new level.
I'm on it, I'm on it.
I'm on a new level.
I'm on it, I'm on it.
I'm on a new level.
I'm on it, I'm on it.
I'm on a new level.
I'm on a new level.
Brought me a new Chevy.
I'm on a new level.
Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest.
I'm on a new level.
All my niggas put it work.
All my niggas put it work.
I'm on a new level.
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 Put me a new Chevy.
Put me a new Chevy.
Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest.
Put me some new vest.
All my niggas put it work.
Put me some better belts. Man, I wanna see my jeweler. Woo, and I read up. Went and bought some new jewels. Hit the car, then the woo woo read up. Who knew we'll blow like nitro? Many bitches need us. Ooh, I just taste the Miley on me. New, I just read up. Dippin' Devin in some new designer. I just dip and dab with the semi tuck. You on a red carpet, surrounded by pop stars, tryna act tough. I got an activist on me, nigga, and I hold up. They said that we couldn't smoke in this building. We fucked around and still rolled up.
I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new Chevy. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest. All my niggas put it work. I'm on a new level.
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 Brought me a new Chevy. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest. All my niggas put it work. Daddy looking down, I know he see me blowing up. My grandma will be so proud. Up in heaven, yeah, beginning of my brother see me, I'ma make my bro proud. Told his mama I'ma take her out of work. Know that I'ma hold my bros down. ASAP till a nigga dies. You didn't know what you know now. I gotta get in my zone now. I gotta get in my zone now. Only a couple of more down. Mama gon' get a new home now. Teach Marty Baller how to be a boss. So none of us ever go broke now. I'ma bring you to the water, swim, nigga. I cannot bring you the boat now.
me a new Chevy. I'm on a new level. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vessel. I'm on a new level. All my niggas put it work.
All my niggas put it work.
I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level.